remind you tonight at 5:25, we have what we call the visit with the pastor time, and that's something where we take some time and just try to give words of encouragement, words of announcement about upcoming events in the church and so forth. I want to invite all of our members and friends to be with us tonight at 5:25. We'll be talking about our two-service philosophy. I have a schedule, about a 17-page program, especially our members. I want you to be aware of this, and we'll be giving this one per family tonight at 5:25. Want to get it into your hands. We'll be doing that on Easter Sunday. We want to be ready for it. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hebrews chapter 4, if you would please, for our scripture reading today. Hebrews chapter 4. We're going to begin a new series today. It will last about 6 to 7 weeks. The series is entitled, Oh, What a Savior! And we want to take some time to see how great our Lord is. And today in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. And let's stand today in reverence to the Word of God as we prepare for our preaching time today. Hebrews chapter 4, verses 14, 15, and 16 for our scripture reading this morning. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Shall we pray? And our Father, we thank you that we can come boldly even at this moment because of Jesus Christ. And as we come to you in prayer this morning, we ask that you would now take this message that has been prepared from your word and that you would use it and be glorified through it, that we as Christians would understand what a sensitive and loving Savior you are. And that those who are here and who have never put their faith in Christ, those who are unsure of their eternal destiny, that today they would come to know you as Savior. And Father, that they today would be saved and know that one day they'll be with you for all of eternity. We thank you for the authority of the inerrant Word of God. We pray that you would use it and bless it in our hearts and in our lives today. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. The Bible tells us in verse number 15, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmity. Webster defines the word infirmity as a particular form of weakness or sickness. The Greek word found in this verse for infirmity is the word asthenia, which means weakness or the inability to produce results. Weakness or the inability to produce results. I think I am safe in saying this morning that all of us today have experienced or are currently experiencing some infirmity. All of us have experienced or are currently experiencing some weakness or some inability to produce results, whether that be physically, whether that be emotionally, whether that be professionally in your career. Each of us in life are faced with infirmity. Now, Americans are turning to many different sources to find help with infirmities. Some today are turning to positive thought tapes. Some today are turning to the psychiatrists. Some, of course, and many for years, have turned to alcohol and drugs to try to deal with their weaknesses and with their inability to take care of in problems and help in time of need. Today we see on the horizon an entire new wave coming from Satan himself, an entire new realm of answers promoted from Satan, and those are under the guise of the New Age answers and the New Age religions for all of the infirmities of man. And the answers that the New Agers are bringing today are filling the bookstores with topics concerning angel worship and messengers of light and how to have an out-of-body experience. And I would remind you as Christians this morning that there is someone called Lucifer who is also called the morning star, and not every angel you could get in contact with is from God. But there's a keen interest today in getting in touch with the universe and getting in touch with angels and spirits. Why? Because men and women today have needs, and men and women today have infirmities, and we're looking to sources to help us with those infirmities. U.S. News and World Report recently quoted a New Age guru saying, "Americans are looking for solutions that speak to the spirit as well as to the psyche." But you know, in reality this morning, men and women have always looked for solutions to life's infirmities. Why, it's nothing new today to say that Americans are looking for spiritual solutions. The truth is that men and women have, since the beginning of time and since sin came into the world, been looking for the solution to life's infirmities. And so as Paul the Apostle wrote to these Hebrews in the first century, the Apostle Paul wrote to them. These were people, as he is writing it to these first century Jews, these were people who had much in the way of religion. They had their Judaism. They had their Mosaic law. They had all of their liturgy, if you will. They had all of their culture. But they still had no rest in their souls. In fact, he writes to them in chapter number 4 and verse number 9, and he says to these Hebrews, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." You know, when you have an infirmity, oftentimes it steals your rest. When you have physical infirmity, when you have emotional infirmity, when your job isn't going the way it should go and your marriage isn't going the way it should go, oftentimes our rest goes away as well. But Paul is writing and he's telling these Hebrews, there is a rest for the people of God. There is a place of rest. There is a person of rest. And I am thankful today that I have spiritual rest in a personal Savior, Jesus Christ. My rest and my hope and my sustenance is found in a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And today I would like to share with you three things about Jesus Christ, three ways that we know He is a sensitive Savior who loves and cares for each and every one of us. Notice, if you would, with me this morning, He is a Savior who hears. He is a Savior who hears. The Bible says in verse number 14, "Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession." The Bible tells us that Jesus is our great high priest. Now, for some of you, that might be foreign language this morning. Some of you have never heard Jesus referred to as the great high priest. But rest assured, it is one of the great doctrines of the Bible. It is one of the great distinctives of the Baptist church today. We thank God for the fact that we have no priest save Jesus Christ. You see, a priest is a mediator between God and men. And we thank God today that we do not go through anyone on earth to have access to the Heavenly Father, but we go to Jesus Christ, the high priest. He is the great high priest. Now the book of Exodus tells us that the Jews had a high priest after the order of Aaron, and Aaron would go into the Holy of Holies one day a year. It was called the Day of Atonement. No one dared go into that place. The book of Numbers tells us if anyone else dared enter into the Holy of Holies, if anyone else dared get close to the glory of God in that secret place there where the Ark of the Covenant resided, anyone who dared go into that place, their life was taken immediately. We see here today that Jesus Christ now has broken down the wall of partition. The veil has been rent in twain. What that means is that you and I have open access to God, the Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ. He is the great high priest today. Jesus is the mediator today. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 5, "For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus." So Jesus Christ is the one who hears. Jesus Christ is the mediator between you and I and between God, the Heavenly Father. And we thank God today that we are not here this morning to point you to men. We are not here this morning to point you to the universe or to angels. But we are here this morning. We exist as a church this morning to point others to Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the mediator. He is the one who hears you and I today. The Bible says in John 3:14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It is the responsibility of the church to lift up Jesus Christ. And I am so glad today to tell you that Jesus hears you and He hears me personally. I don't have to give my prayers to anyone else to get them to God. You don't have to give your prayers to me to get them to God. We come to our own personal high priest, Jesus Christ. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And we have the confidence that Jesus Christ is our advocate. He is our mediator. He is the one who hears our prayers. A missionary friend was out witnessing. And by the way, this church supports missionaries who still do that. We have a lot of missionaries who do a lot of things, and we thank God for all the social effort. But you know, if we fill their tummy but forget to feed their soul, we have failed. The missionary was out passing out gospel tracts and telling people about Jesus Christ recently. And the missionary writes and says that he went to a lady, and the lady, as he was talking to her, said, "Look, I don't need your religion. I pray to Mary every single day." And millions of people do. And the missionary lovingly but firmly said to her, "Ma'am, if you were sick and you had the choice of calling the doctor or the doctor's mother, who would you call?" We say that today not to demean or make fun of someone who has not come to the truth of Jesus Christ, but thank God this morning we don't pray to the Lord's mother, blessed amongst women as she was. We pray today directly to the great physician, Jesus Christ. We thank God that He is a Savior who hears our prayers. The psalmist said in Psalm 34:17, "The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of all their troubles." Oh, what a Savior we have this morning named Jesus Christ. He hears our prayers personally. Amen. Secondly, this morning, He is a Savior who cares. He is not only a Savior who hears, but He is a Savior who cares. The Bible tells us in verse 15, "For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities." Do you know the tragedy of human religions, where the system has now created a man between men and God, is that those men cannot feel your pain. They do not understand your heartbreak like Jesus does. We do not have a priest who cannot be touched. He can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, our weaknesses, our physical pains, our heartache. Jesus feels them. Jesus is near you today during times of trial. He came to the leper in Mark 1:41. The Bible says, "And Jesus was moved with compassion, and He touched him." I'm thankful today that my God became man, and that He touched man, and that He's still touching men and women today. He cannot stay away. He loves you and He loves me, and He's compelled to come. And He loves you today. The Bible says in Matthew 9:36, "But when He saw the multitudes, He was moved with compassion." You see, He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. You say, "My heartache, my home situation, my problems in life, my difficulties with health." Yes, He is touched with every single infirmity that you would ever have or will ever have. He is touched by it. I think of the shortest verse in the Bible, John 11:35. John 11:35 tells us that when Jesus finally came to the place where Lazarus lay, and when Jesus now physically was in the place where Lazarus had died, the Bible simply declares, "Jesus wept." In a crowd this size, it would not be entirely impossible to think that sometime in the course of the next several days, you and I may face the time where we come to the point of having to say our last goodbyes to someone, realizing that someone we love is lost. And I want to remind you of something this morning, that as we come to those times in our lives, we need to remember that we have a high priest who can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. And Jesus wept at the loss of Lazarus. And thank God, when you pray to Jesus Christ about those kinds of trials, He knows how it feels. He's not a stone God. He's not someone who's never experienced these things. But He came down to this earth and experienced them for you, and He experienced them for me. He has experienced earth's pains and sorrows, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us in order that He might be a wonderful Savior to you and to me. He can be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. Those may be in the form of trials that we experience. It may be in the form of temptations that we experience. The Bible says in verse 15, "But was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin." Here we see Jesus Christ not only suffered on Calvary, not only suffered with those whom He loved and can be touched by our feelings, but we also need to remember that He was tempted in all points like as we are. Matthew chapter 4 tells us that Satan took Him up to a high place and he said, "If you'll just trade your sovereign authority to me, I'll let you have these things. If you'll bow down and worship me, if you'll turn these stones into bread." You name the temptation, Satan tried. And he came to Jesus time and time again and tried everything he could do to keep Jesus from going to Calvary's tree. But thank God he kept his eyes firm on the will of the Father, and he never succumbed to those temptations. Though he was tempted in all points like as you are, yet he was without sin. And as you struggle with temptations in this world today, you need to realize you have a Savior who cares. You do not have an impersonal God up in heaven who doesn't know what it feels like. You have a Savior who's experienced trials and He's experienced temptations, but He kept walking towards the will of the Father, and that's what we must do as well, following the steps of Jesus Christ. He is a Savior who cares. I'm glad today that He cares for you and He cares for me and He cares for men and women no matter what their trial may be. Not long ago, I shared with our church on a Sunday night, and I love the story about the man who was down in a pit. Somehow, running along the way, he fell into a pit. He was having trouble getting out. The story records that a Christian Scientist came along and saw the man in the pit, and he looked down and he said, "You only think you're in that pit." A Pharisee walked by and looked at him and said, "Only bad people fall into pits." A legalist walked by and looked at him and said, "You deserve that pit." The county inspector came by and said, "Did you have a permit to build that pit?" The IRS man came by and said, "Are you paying taxes on this pit?" The charismatic came by and said, "Just confess that you're not in that pit." The optimist came by and said, "Things could be worse." The pessimist came by and said, "Things will get worse." Jesus came by, seeing the man, took him by the hand, and lifted him up out of the pit. That's the kind of Savior we have. You see, man's opinions will only go so far. But I'm here to tell you that you and I, if you are saved this morning, we have a Savior who cares. We have a Savior who hears, but we have a Savior who cares. There was a man who served the Lord faithfully for many years. He was, just before he went home to be with the Lord, serving at the Highland Park Baptist Church in Chattanooga, Tennessee, with Dr. Lee Robertson. His name was Charles Weigel. Dr. Weigel wrote this song that is dear to my heart. "No one ever cared for me like Jesus. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed his strong and loving arms about me, and he led me in the way I ought to go. Every day he comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand his words of love, but I'll never know just why he came to save me till someday I see his blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend as kind as he. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much he cared for me. Oh, what a Savior. He hears you. Oh, what a Savior this morning. He cares for you. He is a Savior who hears. He is a Savior who cares. I want you to see thirdly this morning, he is a Savior who helps. Would you look with me in verse number 16? The Bible, after telling us about this wonderful Savior, this great high priest, now we read, "Let us therefore," since we have this great high priest, we could say, "let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He is a Savior who helps. The Bible says that we are to come to him boldly. We're to come to him with great confidence, if you will. We can come to our Savior. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:6, "so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." You know, I've noticed something with my children. None of them are very bashful about coming to ask me for something. When my kids need something, whether it's to have their shoe tied or whether it's to have McDonald's money for the youth activity, they never have a problem. They just walk right in and they ask for whatever they want. They're very bold about it. Brother Schmidt trains them to be that way. Children are bold. I heard this past week of a little girl that went to her teacher. She went to that teacher, squared her shoulders back, looked that teacher right in the eyes, and she said, "Now, Miss Hayes, I don't mean to scare you, but my dad said if my grades don't improve, someone's going to get a spanking." Children can be awfully bold, can't they? Now, let me tell you something. Just as bold as my son Matthew is when he comes to me in that little five-year-old frame when he says, "Daddy, would you please tie my shoe?" And if I don't pay attention to him right away, he'll persist, "Daddy, tie my shoe." You know, you and I need to learn how to come respectfully but boldly to our Lord. Come boldly. "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace." Notice it says, "and he will give us first of all, mercy." We come to him to obtain mercy. Some of you say, "I don't feel worthy to ask God for anything. If you knew what I've done, God wouldn't want to help me." Oh, listen, he's a God of mercy this morning. Come boldly. The Bible says, "and to find grace to help in time of need." When you bow your knee to your God and you come with a heart of repentance, you come with a heart that is serious about the things of God, you will not need to expect judgment. You can expect grace to help in time of need. Grace, meaning the power of God. Grace, meaning the resources of God coming into your life to help you. He may not solve all of the problems immediately, but he will immediately give you an endowment of his grace that will see you through the time of problem. Grace to help in time of need. We have some folks in this room this morning that need grace to help. But you also need to come boldly because you have a Savior who will help. I recall years ago when I was first getting into the ministry and back about 1983 or so working on the staff of a church up in the San Jose area. And as we were there, just getting to know the folks in the choir and in the various ministries, there was one particular lady. She always sat about right here. And that particular lady, I didn't know who she was, but I just always remember just noticing. She always smiled. I mean, didn't matter what was being sung or what was being said. She just always smiled. And sometimes when I would go out on visitation, people would even say to me, I mean, this lady's testimony was so vibrant and her joy so real. People would say, "You know, we really enjoyed your church. The pastor was good. The music was good. Everything was good." Then they would say, "But you know, there was a lady in that choir that just had the joy of the Lord coming forth. And it wasn't until a year or so later I found out that dear lady, just a few years before I got there, her husband, in a very bad way, had left her completely alone. She had never seen him since, nor had she received child support for her child that had been born just months after he left, nor for her other two children. Not only had she never seen him, but when she did hear from him, it was only negative and derogatory comments that she heard. Not only did he leave her with no money, no child support, she had really no skill with which to earn a living. And as the story began to unfold, it began to be quite clear to me that if there was ever a lady in the church who could have become bitter, who could have blamed God, who could have become just an outcast of society, she was the lady. But she had a Savior. A Savior who heard her prayers, a Savior who cared for her needs, and a Savior who helped her in time of need, and a Savior who came according to the Word of God and gave her grace to help. Oh, it didn't take all the problems away. And the Lord didn't say, hey, I'll bring him back and I'll give you lots of money. And that's to some of us the way we want our prayers answered. But he did say, I'll give you grace to help. I'll give you my spiritual strength and inner resources that will help you through this time of need. And so the little lady to this day, now for some 15, 16 years, stands in that choir Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. She stands there with the joy of God, not using yesterday's trials and sorrows as a reason to be miserable today, but saying, thanks be to God. There are a lot of things that I cannot be, but there is one thing I can be. I can be a trophy of the grace of God. I can be living proof of the fact that God still gives grace to help in time of need. Help is there for the asking. John Greenleaf Whittier said, every chain of the evil one crumbles in the breath of prayer. Now I wonder this morning, is prayer your steering wheel or is prayer your spare tire? I mean, are you coming boldly daily to the Lord? Or do you just save prayer for those emergency situations? We have a Savior who wants to help. Where do you go with your infirmities? Oh, the New Agers have all kinds of books for you to read. All kinds of celestial prophets out there. And they're saying, bring your infirmities. Bring your infirmities. Oh, the false cults today, they're saying, bring your infirmities to us. But here we stand in 1995, unashamedly, with a wonderful message nearly 2,000 years old, we stand unashamedly to say, bring your heavy burdens to the cross of Jesus Christ. Come to Jesus Christ, for He is a Savior who hears and a Savior who cares, and He's a Savior who helps when we come to Him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You for Jesus. Oh, what a Savior we have. Thank You that we do not worship stone gods. Thank You that we're not looking to our horoscope or to the stars or to Mother Earth. Thank You that we worship and serve a living Savior. And Father, may this message find lodging place in hearts today. Our heads are bowed this morning, our eyes are closed. And with just a moment now to just do a little bit of quiet introspection, there may be some here in this room, there may be some listening by way of our radio broadcast this morning, who have never yet received Christ as Savior. You may have been to church. You may have been to catechism. You may have had a lot of religious experience. But there needs to be that time when you call on the name of the Lord and you ask Him to save you. That time when you say, Lord, I cannot save myself. I ask You to be my Savior today. And I wonder this morning how many of you have entered into that relationship with a personal Savior. You know that you can pray directly to Him because you've done it, because He is your personal Savior. Would you just think about that for a moment? How many are in this room right now with no one looking, heads are bowed, eyes are closed? How many are here today and you can say, Pastor Chapel, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is my Savior, and I'm on my way to heaven according to the Bible today because Jesus Christ is my personal Savior. Would you just lift your hand as a testimony? Just lift it right up. All right, you may put your hands down. I wonder how many are here in this room this morning who just simply say, Pastor Chapel, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. I'm not really sure where I fit in the scheme of religion and God and Jesus and a Savior. But I would like to have a Savior like you preached about. I would like to have a personal relationship with a Jesus who hears and cares and helps. And Pastor Chapel, pray with me. I'd like to know how to be saved. I'd like to know that today. Would you lift your hand up right now? Just lift it up. Pastor Chapel, here's my hand. I didn't raise it a moment ago, but I raise it now. Pray for me. God bless you. Is there anyone else today? Pastor, here's my hand. God bless you, ma'am. Pray for me. God bless you, sir. I'm not sure that I'd spend eternity in heaven with Jesus Christ. I'd like to know if there's a way. Would you lift your hand? Is there someone else? Wait just a moment. And may I say to these who've raised their hands this morning, in just a moment, we'll invite you to come. We'll invite you just to step right out of your seat there and come to one of our pastors here and let us put a man with a man, a lady with a lady. Take a moment from the Word of God and show you how that you can receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. I wonder how many are here this morning as Christians today who would just simply say, Pastor, I needed what you said today. He is a wonderful Savior, but I also realize I need to come boldly to Him. I do have some infirmities, and I do believe He hears and He cares and He helps. But Pastor, I realize that while I complain about my infirmities, I don't come boldly to Him. And God has spoken to me about coming to Him in consistent prayer. Would you lift your hand as a Christian this morning? Now, our Heavenly Father, we pray for these who have need to bring their burdens to the cross, and may their prayer life increase this week. And Lord, as I preach this morning, I see some in this room who are very ill, some who are unemployed, some who have problems of which I know nothing. I just pray that Jesus, Lord, that You'd be more real to them today, that they would find comfort in the fact that You hear them, You care for them, and that You're going to help them. And I pray for these three or four who are not sure that they're saved and on their way to heaven. And I pray that they would come and trust Christ today, that they would receive the Savior of the world into their lives personally. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together this morning.